This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of going about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and we're joined by Sharla in Japan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Not at all, Sharla. Anything to get to spend the evening with you in this ragged hotel room.
It's very bad.
Oh my God. So we're in Aomori right now. Obviously a few days ahead of the upload schedule. And if you're watching this on YouTube, on the surface, it actually looks like an all right hotel room.
I'll
describe it for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube.
Please don't.
It's got a bed. It's got a nice green sheet on it. It's a wall that's got like some artwork. There's lots of lamps, which looks quite cinematic, like a Steven Spielberg film. What sort of lets it down is the moment you open the door, it smells like a 58-year-old man's armpit. Like
It's not an exaggeration, like, unfortunately.
It smells like somebody went out in the rain all day, and then they came back and their socks were all wet, and they sort of laid them up on the wall.
So the listeners really need this explanation.
I think they do, because I walked in, I nearly had an asthma attack, right? And also one of our crew, Ellen, she walked into the room, was like, oh gosh, no, this is dire, and asked to be moved to a different room. But at least half the team have nice rooms, so
yeah,
well done there.
Yeah, we got unlucky, unfortunately.
You got the shit room.
So. Got the worst one.
I thought, right, this hotel, it's a chain hotel, yeah. Some route in or something. It's been here like 30 years, and I thought, wow, 30 years? It stood the test of time. It must be good. No, it's 30 years old, and they haven't changed anything. Maybe the floor. But anyway, other than that, guys, we're doing well. Journey Across Japan is in full swing. If you've been following along, we're 6 episodes in now, about a third of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a lot of fun. We've eaten the spiciest ramen in Japan. You were lucky you escaped that one.
I was safe from that one.
Lucky devil. We went to the Fukushima exclusion zone for a mini documentary. And we just saw Ryotaro and saw some geisha and went round his house.
Missed all the good stuff.
You missed all. No. Don't know about that. Did you see Ryotaro's house yet? You probably haven't seen the video.
No, I haven't watched the video, actually.
He bought a countryside house.
Is it nice?
It's annoyingly good.
He sent me photos and it did look really good. Was the bath nice? The bath looked really good.
The bath was exceptional.
I'm jealous.
He's got a real natural hot spring that you have to pay.
How cool is that?
I think you have to pay. Well, it's not cool. It's very hot. 45 degrees hot, Sean. That's how hot springs work, isn't it? But anyway.
Leave? Is it too late to leave?
It's not too late. No, you're here. You can't leave. You're going to suffer with me in this awful room. But he's got like a hot spring. You pay like $10,000 and they hook it up to the hot spring beneath the ground.
Whoa.
I think you've got to pay like a big upfront fee.
$1 million.
That. Yeah. You pay 1 million yen upfront.
Wow.
It's about $7,000. And then you pay a monthly fee.
Like an upkeep.
Yeah, yeah. Then you have access to...
Interesting. I was wondering how that worked.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Definitely the highlight of his house. But really cool. Kind of jealous. But also, he's got a view of the Mount Zhao.
Ah, does he?
Which is a nice mountain, wow. But it's also the mountain Ryotaro nearly killed me on 6 years ago when we went skiing in a blizzard. It's like he deliberately chose the house that had a view overlooking the shit show PTSD-inducing mountain from
funny.
My nightmares. Anyway, today we're going to do a Q&A. You guys are sending questions on Instagram.
Thank you for all your questions.
Thank you very much. If you don't follow me on Instagram, do, because that's the future of social media. as Twitter dies a slow death.
Oh, well, yeah.
And Facebook goes into oblivion. Instagram's still a thing. So, yes, we've got some questions. Fire away. Let's dive into the Q&A.
All right. Which day of the trip are you most looking forward to?
Shav Delobes.
I'm sorry. I picked the hardest name to pronounce.
Shav Delobes. I am looking forward to... So I've really been looking forward to El Mori, which is kind of like the halfway mark.
I love El Mori.
It's beautiful. I think we're coming up to the halfway mark. Yeah, this hotel's a downer. Hirosaki. Yeah. The city of Hirosaki, which is coming up soon.
Have you been there in the winter before?
I don't know if I have. It's very...
I have. It was really nice.
And snowy, right?
Yeah, it was really snowy when I went, but it's gorgeous. Hirosaki has a lot of Western influence in the architecture, in the food. It's a really cool combination of like European culture and Japanese culture mixed together. And they're famous for apple pie.
Yes.
So
I remember last time I was there, I think with Ryotaro, we got a map with 50 apple pie.
Oh my God.
You were there actually filming it. And there was like 50 apple pie shops and you could do like a bar crawl, but with apple pie.
That should be the challenge. Go to every single apple pie shop.
Oh my God. I'm still scarred after the three ramens and Kit Kat video.
We've had some pretty horrible eating challenges that you guys will see soon.
Yes, we have. But no, like Hirosaki is probably the bit I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Have you got another question?
Sure.
We're going to do three questions each, then head over the phone.
If you and Sharla got another pet for the house that isn't a cat, what would it be? From Art of Yash 01.
A dolphin.
Shut up. Answer it properly.
I don't know.
Stop answering dolphin to everything.
I think a dolphin would be cool.
If you were allowed to get any pet, what would you get?
A parrot.
Would you?
So I could be entertained. I think
Maro would eat that.
He wouldn't eat it.
Let's think critically here.
Maro
if
is
you
a cat.
Get a pet tomorrow, if you had to get a pet tomorrow, what would you get? Maro would 100% eat a parrot.
He wouldn't eat. Maro gives it all that. He thinks he's hard. But then actually, when the door opens and there's a gust of wind, he like shits himself and runs under a bed and cries.
You haven't seen him catch things. He's caught cockroaches for me.
A cockroach and an ant. Brilliant. Yeah. No, I think a parrot. I think he'd love the parrot. They'd become the best of friends. And like, the parrot could talk. Like, they'd meow. They'd be like, meow. The parrot would be like, meow.
If that worked out, that would be amazing.
It'd be like the Lion King, but shit. would you ever bring a fan with you for an adventure? Says Gary Campbell.
I've done that several times, actually. Lots of my good friends they started out as viewers that contacted me. Then we hung out in Tokyo together, and now we're friends. So I guess, yeah.
I mean, for me, bringing Pete Premier 2 along, that's like bringing a fan. It'll kill me if he hears this. Please don't tell Pete I said that. How did you find out that you wanted to do content creation for a living, says Philip? How did you find out?
How did
you discover that you wanted YouTube?
Well, it wasn't really a choice in my case. I was forced to do a school project.
You make it sound like you were a prison camp.
I was.
Do it. Make videos for fun. Make the people laugh.
No, I was supposed to do a written blog, and I really hate writing. So I asked my university if I could do a YouTube vlog type style instead, not thinking anybody would ever see it. And then people started watching it, and I felt like I kind of had to keep it up. And I never stopped.
You never stopped. But you did switch from... doing them in Japanese to English, right?
I did, yeah. After a few years of speaking only Japanese, I got a lot of English-speaking viewers, so I switched to English eventually.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And as for me, I mean, I've been making videos since I was like 10, and I just love... I don't know, there's something fun about capturing video, editing it, playing around with it, the creativity. I think no matter what was going to happen, even if I didn't become a YouTuber, I was always going to do some form of video. Like, for my friend's birthday, me and my friend's... when it was her birthday, we would make like a sketch series every year and try and entertain her for her birthday. Stuff like that. And I always loved doing it. I always found just something rewarding in the creativity of it all. But yeah, I love it. Even if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be doing it somehow, making videos. What are the crucial mistakes made by first-time visitors of Japan and its countryside really worth the hype? Says who has a why so simple name?
It's other name.
Why so simple name?
First of all, is countryside worth the hype? Is there hype around the countryside?
There should be.
I feel like we're the only ones hyping up the countryside.
There's lots of hype, then it's justified.
Yeah.
Like, just today, we went to some rundown towns in Aomori. And I don't know, I just find something endearing about Japan's dying countryside.
Well, for one, the buildings. People are so nice.
People are nice.
So friendly.
And you just get the most jaw-dropping scenery when you do get out of these countryside towns as well. Like shrines and mountains and forests and rivers. And like, yeah, for me, countryside Japan is the real Japan. As much as I
as cringy as that
enjoy
sounds.
Tokyo. And it is cringe. But,
no, it really is great.
It is. Like, I think if this journey across Japan does anything, hopefully it'll make you guys want to come out here and see it for yourself. Because not enough people are. I was recently in Kyoto, Osaka. Absolutely rammed, right? You couldn't move, hotels booked, and you come out here and they're all empty. This hotel's practically empty, probably because of the smell. Yeah, probably because of the smell. Don't come out here. which of Charla's cats do you like better?
Oh, you can't pick a favorite.
Paro. Yeah, I wonder which one. Is it the cat that opens all the doors in the house and jumps on me while I'm asleep, or is it Maro? Yeah.
Maro is probably the most well-behaved cat in the universe, so it's not fair to compare another cat to Maro. Tuna's lovely. You have to admit that Tuna is growing up, and he's less of a nightmare kitten now.
No.
He's quite sweet now. Cat. He likes cuddling.
What is...
Oh, he's really sweet.
Enough about this annoying cat. I'm glad to get away from him for a few days. What's the next bucket list thing you want to do together? Says I am 0100. Sounds like a robot fucking exploding. Next bucket list thing.
You think of something and I'll think of something. Let's see if it's the same thing.
I know what it is. I know what yours is.
Do you?
What's that? Oh, what's that place called? Hiking in Scotland.
Yeah.
Hey!
You read my mind.
What's the name of the island? Isle of Skye, of course. Yes, both Charlotte and I want to go to the Isle of Skye and have a walk around.
Maybe like, in the summer.
One of the highlights this year was going to Lake District when I attempted to propose to Charlotte, but
failed
didn't.
Horribly.
Because I failed. Because of the weather, in fairness.
Who cares about the weather?
It was like...
It would have been memorable.
It was more memorable going on the nice beach.
It was
with
nice.
With the rock formation.
What would you have done if it was raining on the beach day?
I'd have just given up. I'd have thrown the ring in the sea and be like, God doesn't want this to happen.
Great.
No, I would have just done it there probably. I would have given up or just gone into a nearby shed. And be like, oh, dry air, done. But no, Isle of Skye... I love those sort of places. I love kind of like mountains in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Scotland looks amazing.
Scotland is
like
that. We've
been to Scotland, but like we haven't been to countryside Scotland. We've only been to the cities. So
Edinburgh, beautiful. Probably the nicest city in the UK.
Yeah.
Would you still recommend teaching English in Japan? Says Lee Walkin, 23.
I always recommend it to everybody because it's an easy segue into living in Japan if you want to be here long term like Chris and I have. I feel like it's a good way to start out. It's one of the easiest jobs to get, of course, and you can kind of find your way in Japan while you're doing this rather simple job of English teaching.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked it. And I so many times I'm always like, oh, I remember in my first 3 years in Japan, I did this, I did that. The amount of times I reference those kind of first 3 years as a teacher. Even though I also sometimes think I've glamorized it a bit, you know, when you look back almost nostalgically on your own past at times, I often look back on those first 3 years. It was really good. I was very happy.
Well, the first 3 years are always the most exciting.
They are. But like when I also dig deep into those memories, there was also a lot of like unhappiness. And there was a lot of times I thought, what the fuck am I doing? Working as a human tape recorder after 3 years still. So I definitely enjoy what I do now a bit more. But I never regret doing it, and it was a lot of fun. And if you're looking at coming to Japan and you want a job or a way in, like that is a really good way to do it. Just be careful who you pick, because there are some agencies, as it Gabba, who recently changed the policy and made it a lot more difficult to teach. Or there's if you don't show up to your class, you get fined a lot. If you're sick, it was like, if you're sick or dying,
a few of them are
you have to pay.
Scammy.
Really dodgy.
The route that Chris went is probably the best if you can do it.
Yeah, jet program. Or Interac is quite good.
And I just showed up randomly in Japan and found jobs at like private schools. So that's another way to do it.
Absolutely. But yeah, jet program. Chris, what's your skin routine? Says Ridwan Kamaral. My skin routine is nothing short of an art form. I wake up.
People always ask Chris his skin routine. I don't think he's washed his face once in his life.
Fuck off.
Have you ever used like a facial wash product and washed your face?
I use Oshibori. I wipe my face with Oshibori hand towels every day.
There's your answer.
And I use the blood of my enemies on my face.
It's unfair. He's naturally beautiful.
Naturally fit and healthy and stunning.
Next question.
Apart from all my interior, all my internal organs failing one by one. The face looks good. The skin looks good, apparently. But everything else is fucked. Tragedy.
Is it difficult to go around North Japan without a car? Says Janice Mendoza.
It's not difficult. It's not ideal.
It's doable.
I think everywhere we've been on this trip, the cities of like Hachinohe, Aomori City.
Yeah, they're all quite accessible by public transit, trains, buses.
But like, I think you are limiting your sense of adventure a little bit if you're not driving. Unfortunately, a lot of people can't drive.
I can't drive.
If you can drive, get an international driver's license and rent a car here because it's a very painless, easy process and it'll open up a lot of doors and a lot of places that you can kind of explore off the beaten track.
Yeah, and I think the best parts of North Japan you kind of see when you have a car and you can drive off into the mountains and just have that whole place to yourself. So I would definitely recommend it. If you can get a car, if you can rent a car, do it.
If you both had to change something about your journey on YouTube, what would it be, says Noah?
Change something.
What would you change about your journey on YouTube? Your journey.
Can't really think of anything. Well, like, of course there's things that both of us could have done better. But it just seems silly to look back and be like, oh, I would have done this differently. Mm. Because, I don't know, it led us to where we are now. So,
Worked
out well.
I mean, yeah, I'm very happy with how things have gone. I think maybe I should have posted a bit more often. Often I'm like, I can't make a video unless it's perfect in my mind and it has to be the certain way. I think I should have loosened up a little bit and made more videos. But at the same time, I'm proud of nearly every video I've released with a few exceptions, including one awful live stream I did in 2015.
What was that?
The one I did in Tokyo.
What happened?
With Simon and Martina at the time.
Oh, God, that.
They were nice. They helped me.
Oh, God, I kind of like blocked out that part of my
I was going to do a video on it. I was going to make a video last Christmas, I think, for the 12 Days of Christmas series I did. And in that, I was going to do the worst thing I've ever done. It was going to be about this live show I did.
It has nothing to do with Simon and Martina, by the way.
No, they saved my life.
You kind of worded it in a way that made it sound like they were bad.
I did. My first ever big live show was like sponsored.
Yeah, it was like this really cringy sponsorship deal.
Yeah, it was a network I was with. I think that was my biggest regret. I've been part of like two or three networks. We're talking years ago now, like 6-7 years ago. Mm. And I'd say to anyone doing YouTube, don't join a network unless they have something incredible to offer you. These networks didn't. And they rarely took advantage of me a little bit and they made me do this sponsored live stream that was, it's looking back on it, it's hilariously like awful, an atrocity of video. But yeah, some things are best wiped from your mind. And that
totally
live show was one
that.
Of them. And you're not going to find it, so don't try looking for it. It's very much gone. It's like privated somewhere. dear, oh dear. Ooh.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloane Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Would you consider doing a journey across Europe? If yes, in which countries?
Awesome.
I am Charlotte. Where would you go?
Where? Everywhere. We haven't been to that many European countries, so Hungary would be number one. Then we would go to probably back to Norway.
People be like, "Why is she shades of Hungary?" Like, you got to use the context.
My mum's side of the family's Hungarian, and I've never been there, and I love the food, so Hungary would be number one.
She loves a bit of Viktor Orban. To be fair, this is interesting for those of you who know your politics in Europe. Charlotte once showed around the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban.
I was his translator.
A notorious, almost dictator ruler who's caused a lot of problems.
At the time, I think he hadn't been in the office for very long. He was pretty new.
Yeah, right.
Ages ago.
Before we stirred up the pot.
Yeah.
And Charlotte, is the idea of just you showing around Viktor Orban, this like psychopathic Prime Minister of Hungary.
Person at my university that had like a Hungarian connection and could speak English and Japanese. So they're like, yeah, you can be his translator. Like,
fucking hilarious.
Sure.
That would be such. You shouldn't have vlogged it.
Like, hey guys, it's me and Viktor.
What do you.
Was I Victor. Even doing YouTube then? I guess I was, yeah.
That would be the vlog to watch, but my God, yeah. Crikey. So many questions about where we're going to travel next. I suppose
spoilers.
I didn't...
We can't spoil it.
Would you consider, for me, doing a journey across Japan in Europe? No. I don't think I would. But I do want to do some videos in Europe, for sure. I love Rick Steves. If you don't know what Rick Steves is, go and watch Rick Steves. It's a Canadian... he's American.
Oh, I was
American
really proud
guy
for a second there.
He travels around Europe.
Oh.
And he finds glee and delight in the most mundane things.
He's amazing.
And he's just...
We have to replicate that.
Has the most whimsical voiceovers, like, I'm going to a pub to meet the homeboys. And it's just like...
episode,
he goes to like a pub in like Manchester. And he's like, I'm just chilling with the locals. And it cuts to like, about like, what are you doing here? What are you doing at my pub? Get out here. And it's just that you've got to watch Rick Steves. It's so good. But it's also quite good. You get to learn about Europe in a very sort of chilled out way.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's very relaxing.
It's chill. That's what I want to do when I retire from YouTube. I want to become Rick Steves. if you could only visit one region or town in Japan on the first visit, which one should you visit? It says Stardust.
On the
Mine.
First visit?
Only one region or town. Let's take Tokyo out of the equation, obviously, because that's a given. And Kyoto.
Okay.
Where are you going to go? It's a good question.
So hard. I want to say Kanazawa.
It's good. It is very good. I think Takayama. Because Kanazawa, it's still a decent sized city.
It's good.
Takayama, you've got like... We walked around there, didn't we, while we were filming for a recent video that came out.
Takayama was amazing. I don't think I would suggest it as the one place. Because it feels very touristy. Whereas in Kanazawa, you get a mix of a little bit of touristy over here and a little bit of regular Japan life over here.
True.
Takayama feels very much like a town that was just made for tourism.
What about Aizu Wakamatsu, where we just got back from?
Aizu's amazing.
Like, we didn't really cover too much of Aizu on Journey Across Japan recently because I've done it so many times in previous videos.
So fun.
I did want to go back and see this as Zaidor Temple.
Ah, yeah.
That sort of incredible temple with the spiral structure. Right.
Aizu is really cool.
And we went to the eel restaurant with Ryotaro there, caught our own eels, or kind of caught them, but then dropped them because they were so slippery. They've got a Showa 1960s museum that's really awesome. Mm. And it's near Kitakata, so you can go for ramen afterwards, the town with the most ramen ever. So
I do like Aizu.
And it's touristy, but more like aimed at Japanese tourists than foreign tourists.
Aizu doesn't feel overly touristy. Yeah, maybe that's why, because it's more aimed at Japanese viewers.
Yeah.
Visitors.
Go there. I think it's accessible without a car. I think so.
And you get good train. Sake. If you are a sake connoisseur, Aizu has amazing sake.
God, some of these questions. What's your favourite memory in Japan? Says K Skull.
Favourite memory in Japan?
Apart from hanging out with me.
God, I've been here like 20 years.
Is it the time you showed Viktor Orban around Tokyo? It definitely is.
I'm going to have to think about
that. That's a memory to last a lifetime.
I want to say some of my best memories. I can't think of one in particular, but I used to have I was friends with an older lady, like quite a bit older. I think she was in her 70s. I was teaching her English, and we used to hang out and go to cocktail bars together.
Really?
Just chat and do karaoke.
That sounds like a replica of my best memory. One of my favorite memories, like
Ito-sensei,
the guy I learned English from, learned Japanese from.
Although, similar relationship.
Yeah, there's something nice about meeting somebody who's quite elderly in their later years, and they're quite, Ito-sensei is very reflective on his past and all the things he'd done, and sadly passed away now, but it's nice spending time with someone in their later years.
Yeah.
They're reflecting on everything. You have these really kind of emotional moments, and he was supposed to teach me Japanese, but he'd open the book and bless him, his memory was going, and he'd be like, last week we covered chapter 6, we'll do chapter 7. Like, we did chapter 7 2 weeks ago. and it would just speak English in the end. Aww. And reminisce on his old times, and then we'd go to like a snack bar and have a drink and a chat. And he'd smoke a lot. But what a great man. So yeah, those sort of memories, the people you encounter, you know, hanging out with Natsuki as well. The last few lines of my book, I think, I can't remember if they were or if I changed them. It was going to be Natsuki and I sitting in like a yakitori restaurant, just reminiscing and talking about the future back when I first started in the snowy winter months. I think that's why I love winter, traveling in Tohoku. Even though there's been like no fucking snow on this trip.
I haven't seen any. I've seen like a couple dirty piles of snow on the side of the road, but both of us packed for like serious winter weather.
Only today did it get cold.
It's cold, but it's not snowing.
But like North Japan, it's very kind of cozy in the winter months. Brutal, cold, windy, horrible. But you go inside into a, you know, a yakitori restaurant or izakaya, and the heat is going, and everyone's having fun, and it's like hot sake, atsukan, it's called. Like, that is one of the nicest things about Japan in winter. And we're almost there on this trip, but we're not, because the snow isn't falling.
Maybe Yamagata. Yamagata might have some snow.
It should do in theory.
Yeah.
Can Sharla beatbox? Says Gant. Do it.
You do it and I'll try and copy you. Wow, it's so much harder than I thought it was.
It's easy. Oh my god. Now you've got to like wet your lips and go like that. Why are you doing it?
Like you try to slurp.
Okay, all right, stop this. There's people listening to this and watching it. Is Connor okay? Says Beowulf.
I talked to him today. He was alive.
Did you? Yeah. Connor was in a video we just shot like the day before yesterday, and we really got fucked up. You can actually see why at the end of the most recent video that came out.
Oh, really?
There's a coming up section, and that will allude to what happened, but it was brutal, and he was not Die Jamie at the end of that video, and neither was I, actually.
Poor Connor.
What is your most cherished possession, says Aberrant Vagary.
Cherished possession?
Apart from Mari the cat.
I was going to answer Mari.
No. Cherished possession, other than me.
Other than you.
You must have something. Mine would be... what would mine be?
That's really hard.
Cherished possession. All right, I have a little booklet. I have a little book. It's about this big, so it's kind of very small. For those of you listening, it's probably like B5 or smaller. Mm-hmm. It's a blue book. And in it, I wrote 2-3 years ago all my favourite Stoic philosophical quotes.
Oh, yeah.
And on a recent trip when we're back in the UK, I memorised them all.
Yeah,
and then
he's really weirdly good at memorizing.
Yeah, I think I forgot.
I could be like number 21, and he would remember.
Yeah, I get Charlotte like grilling.
It was,
and it's like she'd be like number 21, and I'd be like, "Control thy passions, lest they take vengeance upon thee." And it was all a bit weird, but I love that book, and It's quite important to me. Also, my camera.
One thing.
Probably the camera's mine.
Your camera, really?
I love my
camera.
But
you could just buy another camera.
No.
So surely that's not a prized possession because it's replaceable.
Shit.
Like, you wouldn't notice if I just trashed that and bought you a new one. You wouldn't even notice.
My Fuji, oh, I don't know, Fuji camera. I have no possessions. The world is my possession. What's yours?
That's hard. But I probably, maybe that, the first photo book you made me.
Oh, what's that?
When you used to put effort into them.
Oh, not like now. I would make a book and I'd put photos from what we did kind of throughout the year, right? Mm. And it'd be like I'd have A to Z. Mm. And each letter would have a memory. Like A would be like London.
Yeah.
B would be like breakfast. And then be like a picture of some fried breakfast I had. I was like, that was my put effort in. Not like now.
That's pretty good.
What did I get you for your birthday this year? Can't remember it. Can't remember.
Don't remember.
Dear. Well, it's not very nice.
Well, I don't remember.
All the effort I put in and you don't remember what I bought you or
what
made
did
you.
I get you then?
Love. The gift of love. And
it all blends into
probably
one.
Socks, I don't know. What will be your creative goal in 2024, says Bert Daniels. Bert Daniels number 3.
Creative goal.
Creative goal. I really need to stop talking about wanting to make a film and just fucking get on with it.
Do you feel like stopping you? Why haven't you?
I think an idea that excites me enough. I can make a short film now. Would it be good? No. But I could do it. I want an idea that I'm fully invested in because it's going to take a lot of time and resources. Mm. Like, I don't just want to make a simple short film set in a room with two people chatting. I want something a bit more impressive, like a calling card. And so I think I've set myself up to fail by having very lofty ambitions. But I don't think there's a problem in that.
But you want to be excited about it. If you're going to put that much money and time into something, you've got to really be on to the idea of it.
I'd love to do something set in an alternate reality where the bubble, Japan's bubble, didn't burst in like 1991. Because in the 1980s, particularly the late 80s, Japan was like on top of the world. Yeah. It was.
If that just kept going.
Yeah, it was second only to America. And a lot of America feared it was going to take over, right? And then it didn't. The bubble burst and it had the 20 lost years, the two lost decades, as they're called. But what happens if that hadn't happened? Because you see a lot of Japanese creativity in film industry and books, all sorts of things. A lot of it sort of died off after the 80s. Not that Japan stopped. Like, Japan was a powerhouse in the 90s, but something, certainly in the film industry, the 90s weren't as kind to Japan as the 80s were. And a lot of companies cut back on research and development spending. And I think if Japan had kept on going, it would have been a very different country.
It's weird to think about.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to do a film set in like an alternate universe in that regard. I don't know. What about you?
I'm focusing more on my stationery business next year. We kind of had to rework everything because the EU set up a bunch of new postal regulations. So it's been a nightmare sending things overseas from Japan.
Is the UK...
No, it's also not good.
Yay,
at first, everyone was like, yay, Brexit. But no, the UK also, same problem now.
God damn, the one good thing to come out of Brexit.
Yeah.
Cheap, reasonably priced Japanese stationery. And even that, we've lost it. God damn it. So, we get anything out of this Brexit.
I'm going to have to rework that and do some new things in the new year.
What is the British mentality? It says Instinct 2008.
What does that mean?
What do you think the British mentality is? Stiff upper lip? Stoical?
Stoical.
Great skincare.
Stoical.
Don't know. I find British people are a lot less emotionally charged than North Americans, which is why, like, I did a collab recently with somebody and they're very happy and excited. I might say, but the camera then pans to me and I'm like, oh. To be fair, he himself was also British. I think he was just a happier British guy than I was. But, like, I've noticed when I collab with American or Canadian friends, they're a lot more animated and excited, and I'm just like, but maybe that's just
I think that's a general vibe. You could probably generalize that the UK is a lot more chill.
What do you think is the hardest thing about moving to Japan?
And
on a big one,
God, I didn't have any issues, so that's not I can't really think of anything that was hard for
you've
me.
You've asked the wrong two people here. Like, I never got homesick. Not because I despised my family and friends back home. But I was so excited about living somewhere. And like, for me, like, life started the moment I moved to Japan. Because before that, it was like school, and then secondary school, and then university. It's constant preparation. It's constant waiting for something fun to happen. Although they weren't that bad. And then, like, I got to Japan. It's like, let's go. Life can begin now. And that's how I felt. The hardest bit was giving up independence for me personally.
Because
I didn't speak Japanese.
Well,
I didn't know the subtleties of Japanese culture and like.
So you relied on friends to help getting you
a
with
bank,
things,
getting right. my phone, doing anything basic.
Right.
I actually was quite fearful of just walking into a restaurant because people in Tohoku are quite shy. And a bit awkward, and if they detect you don't speak Japanese, they sort of panic. I got quite nervous going into restaurants, just doing things. And
I guess daily task type stuff is kind of the scariest if you don't speak the language.
Yeah,
setting up banking
and documents. But yeah, I felt like a real burden on my friends here and my colleagues because every time I had to do something important, I had to like bring them along for it. So losing that degree of independence, I'd say, but that's the hardest thing for me. Rather than like homesickness.
And you? I genuinely can't think of anything.
Nothing. No problems.
People always ask me this question. I don't know. I feel like I had more issues living in Canada than I do here. Like rent was so unaffordable.
Really?
From getting a decent job was so hard where I was from. And here everything just seems to work.
Is that a statement on Japan or Canada?
I don't know. But a lot of people do struggle with homesickness, but that's never been an issue for me. I guess I've always been pretty independent, so.
Maybe I was more homesick than I realised at the time, though. Looking back, I used to, I haven't done it for years now. When I first moved here, I would always have a British TV show on in the background.
Oh, yeah, you said you did that.
Yeah, I'd fall asleep watching, like, Blackadder, Only Fools and Horses, or Peep Show, or something like that. And I think I needed that. To have some sanity, because I didn't feel that putting on a Japanese TV was very alien, very crazy. Didn't know what was going on. I think that was
not overly relaxing.
Yeah, and I think that was how I got over any homesickness and regular phone calls. Like we forget these days that you could be in the middle of the Japanese mountains, like North Japan, very remote, and then you can pull out your phone and have a fucking 4K conversation with your parents.
Yeah,
and. They're like, oh yeah, we've just been hoovering and mopping the floor, and we've just it's just like yeah. You can have a mundane conversation that otherwise would have taken like 3 years to get back home to the UK on like 500 ships and a letter. So it's something taken out of the equation, being able to communicate that fast. I think.
Yeah, so. Couldn't do that when I first moved here.
Need to write by pen.
Emails. No, we had emails at the time.
Taken by horse and carriage and steamship back in the day. But thank you for all your questions, guys. If you don't follow on Instagram, do follow there because we'll do this again, I'm sure, soon. And there'll be more podcasts. I know we didn't have a podcast on Thursday, so my apologies for that. It's been pretty crazy doing this, as you can imagine. But
pretty
so far...
crazy is an understatement.
It is. But it's been a lot of fun traveling with you, Charlotte, and traveling with the team who are hiding.
It's been really fun. Around.
Yeah, it's been a real epic journey. And really, it's only just beginning because we're only a third of the way in on YouTube as well. So, yes, keep watching, guys. The next episode is a big one. Probably the biggest of the whole series, actually.
Should be a good one.
And, I think it will be a fun one. Filming it was certainly... epic. Experiencing it was also certainly traumatic. But we'll see that soon. But for now, guys, as always, keep your stories, comments, questions coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully next time we see you in a few days' time, we'll have Joey.
Yeah, and see him.
We won't be in the smelliest hotel room in all of North Japan.
I can't wait to leave.
Yes, let's get out of here. For now, guys, we'll see you soon. Have yourselves a good one. Bye for now.
Thanks for watching.
I'm going to eat these apples.
Are you?
Yes. Yeah.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.